Today we continue with lesson number 116 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Meseches Kelim. And we will be learning, coming toward the end, but not quite there yet, of Perek Chof Zayin, of the 27th Perek. We will be learning Mishnah Yud and Mishnah Yud Aleph, Mishnah 10 and Mishnah 11. Mishnah Yud is an important Mishnah because here is the locus, the source of this fundamental machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, which we have alluded to previously, especially in the very preceding Mishnah Tes, which we learned yesterday. But the source of the machlokas is here in Mishnah Yud. Shlosho al shlosho shen nechalak. If you have a piece of beged, a small towel of wool or linen, which is shlosha shlosha, 3 by 3 tfochim, approximately 12 inches by 12 inches, which became tome b'medras hazov. It's a little seat cushion, and the zov sat on it. So now it's an avatuma, medras hazov. And now, nechelak, it's cut in half. Person takes a scissor and cuts it in half. So neither half has the shear Tumas Medris. One half is 3 by 1.5 tvachim, and the other is 3 by 1.5 tvachim if it's cut exactly in half. So now once you cut it, says the Tanakhama, Tohor min ha-medris. It is now no longer Tomei Tumas Medris. The previous Tumas Medris is now botel, now gone. Avol Tomei Maga Medris, the Tanakhama says, the whole beged becomes tome maga medris because the beged was touching itself. Each thread in the beged was touching the adjacent thread. Again, Rabbi Yossi comes and says the same thing as he said before, these same words, objecting to this business. What do you mean it was touching itself? Omer Rabbi Yossi v'chi be'eza midris noga zeh. Rabbi Yossi, consistent with his position in the previous Mishnah, says that touching itself, touching Midrash Shel Atzmo, the fact that one thread of the beged was touching the adjacent thread, that's not maga, that's not contact, that's not touch contact. And therefore, since the Tumas Medris is gone because it's been cut in half, so it's completely tahor. There's no tumah remaining at all, unless Elim kein noga bo hazov, tome maga hazov. But if a zav touched it, again, two possible perushim, as we learned yesterday. A zav touched it after it was nechalak, after it was split in half. So it's no longer roi lekabel tumas medris, but it's still roi lekabel tumas maga hazov. Because for maga hazov, as opposed to midras hazov, you don't require shlosha shlosha tfochim. One possibility, the simpler one. The more advanced pshat would say, Elim kein nogabo hazov before it was nechalak. If the zov not only sat upon this 3 by 3 tfochim seat cushion, seat cover or whatever, but he also touched it with his hand, touch it with his bare body, whatever. So that the original shlosha shlosha was tome mainly tumas medres hazav, but secondarily also tome tumas maga hazav, because the zav, besides sitting on it, touched it with his bare hands, bare foot, whatever. So now that it's been cut in half, nechalak, and the original tumas medres is gone, poof, but the tumas maga medres remains. Tumas maga hazav remains. Why? Because for maga hazov you don't require shloshal shlotufot tvochim, even less shloshal 1.5 tvochim is also tome tumas maga hazov. The yisod, the underlying fundamental machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, is whether or not tumas beis hasisorim is mitama b'maga. If two things come into contact in a way that the naked eye cannot see them. For example, if I have a thick blanket, which a zov sat upon, so the parts of the blanket that touch each other, that's not visible to the eye. Only if you cut it open with a scissor can you see the walls, so to speak, of that blanket. So is Tumas Beis HaSusorim Mitama B'mago or not? According to the Tanakama, yes, it is Mitama. And therefore he holds that this blanket, this Shlosha Shlosha Shenechlak, is Tomei Maga Medris. Because when it was a medris, each fiber, each thread touched the other thread, even though it was not visible. We couldn't see them touching each other. Nevertheless, when they were in Bechubar, we couldn't see them touching each other. Nevertheless, it's Tomei according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Yossi says, no. Because the Makom Chiburim, the place where these two threads touched each other, was a Beis HaSesorim, was hidden from the eye. The eye didn't see that contact of the points of contact. Therefore, it's not Tomei Tumas Medris at all, only Tumas Maga, if the Zav indeed touched it when he was barefoot, or etc., etc. Now, this, again, is subject to a big lumdis, and again, those who are interested can look on a Pirush HaMishnayos in the Tiferes Yisroel, in the Tosfos Rabbi Akiva Eger, and in the ultimate sources in the Gemara, Rashi and Tosfos, in Meseches Chulin Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis. Now let's continue with Mishneh Yud Aleph. Shlosha al Shlosha. If a person has a beget, which is 3x3 tefachim, approximately 12x12 inches, bo ashpos. If this piece of material, 12 by 12 inches, 3 by 3 tefachim, is lying in the garbage, ashpos, in a heap of trash, of rubbish, so in a heap of rubbish, it's no longer a beget. Then, since it's no longer a beget, it's a piece of garbage, although it's the right size, but it's still a piece of garbage situated in the ashpo, in the heap of garbage. It is not mekabel tuma, boash post. It is not mekabel tuma unless bori vitzorer melach. Unless it is both bori, it is whole, intact, 3x3 tefachim, and also strong enough so that you could wrap salt in it and it will contain the salt. Then, even though if it has both of these conditions, then even though it is boash post, it is in the trash and the rubbish heap. Rubbish heap, nevertheless, it is mekabel tuma, even tumas medris, because it's 3x3 tefachim. How, babayis, if this 3x3 piece of cloth is not in the garbage, but it's somewhere in the house, so then it does not require both conditions in order to be mekabel tuma, but rather, o bori, o tzorer melach, if it is either whole, even though it's so flimsy, you cannot bind salt in it. It won't hold the salt that it's containing. But nevertheless, since it's bori, it's whole, it's intact, it's mekabel tuma. Or if it is not bori, if it is not whole and intact, but it is tzorer melach, it can still contain salt. You can wrap salt in it. Then even though it's not sholem, and the Tosfos Yom Tov goes into an explanation of what he means, if it's not sholem, it's less than 3x3 tefachim. Let's leave that issue aside for now. And if it had either of these conditions, if it's babayis, either bori or tzorer melach, it is mekabel tuma. The question is, kamo melach yehei tzorer? When we say it has to be able to contain salt, if you wrap it around salt, it will hold the salt. How much salt? 2 grains of salt? The Mishnah explains, rova. It has to be a quarter of a kav, which is approximately half a liter in today's measurements of salt. So it has to contain a substantial amount of salt. But now the question is, what kind of salt? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bedako. It has to be able to contain fine salt. It's table salt that we have, fine salt. The Chachamim omrim bigasa. The Chachamim say, no, it has to be able to contain coarse salt, clumps of salt, not just little powder salt. And the interesting thing is, continues the Mishnah, Elu vo'elu miskavnin lohokel. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, their intention is to be lenient, as follows. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in order to be able to hold finely ground salt, powdered salt, melech daka. You need a beged which is stronger than melech gasa, than coarse salt. So therefore he's being lenient, because you require an even stronger piece of cloth in order to contain a rova hakav of melech daka. Why does he hold? So what's the machlokas is in the nature of salt. Rav Yehuda holds that the nature of salt is such that it's heavier than gasa. Don't forget, it's packed together. The grains, small powdered grains of powder, are more packed together. So therefore, he is more lenient and says that a beged shlosha al shlosha is not mekabel tuma unless it can contain the quantity of salt, a rova hakav of melach daka, where the grains are compressed and closer together and therefore heavier. However, the Chachamim say, no way. Melech gasa, coarse salt, clumps of salt, requires a stronger beged, because the clumps of salt have belitos, they have points, they're pointy, and they may cut the beged, and therefore the beged has to be stronger. If it's only daka, powdered salt, I'm not going to cut into the material of the beged. So therefore they are more lenient when they say that it has to be able to contain a rova hakav of salt, melach gasa. The Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, shovim shlosha al shlosha bo ashpos, 3x3 tvochim in the garbage is like shalosh al shalosh babayis, 3x3 etzbaos in the house. Meaning, just like a beged shalosh al shalosh, 3x3 etzbaos, let's say 3 inches by 3 inches, if it is in the house, wherever it is, it's not mekabel tumas medris, it's too small. But it is mekabel other tumas, tumas meis, tumas sheretz. So too, argues Rabbi Shimon, a beged 3x3 tfochim, if it's in the garbage, is not mekabel tumas medris. No matter how strong it is and how much salt it can contain, it's not mekabel tumas medris. Because since he threw it into the garbage, he's been mevatel its chashivos, it is no longer significant. So even though it is 3x3 tfochim, and it is bori vitzore melach, once it's in the garbage, it's like a scrap, a shalosh al shalosh etzbos in the house. And it's not mekabel tumas medris at all, but only shor tumas, tumas meis, tumas sheretz, etc. And so we have completed lesson number 116.